Good morning. Last week we began our study of 1 John, 1 John chapter 1, and I don't think we're going to spend a lot of time in introductory remarks. If you have been listening and staying abreast with the study, you realize we're down to verse 7. If you are just joining the program, perhaps for the first time, the Bible Says is a program that's geared toward the clear exposition of the Word of God. No bells and whistles, no frills, no gimmicks, just what does the Bible say? The name sums it up pretty well because, frankly, every Christian needs to know what the Bible says. Too many people run around quoting their pastor, spouting some church dogma, but as far as what the Bible says, they just strike out. They don't have any idea what it's about. The purpose, then, is to fill in that gap. We want you to know what the Bible says. I haven't made a mention of this for quite some time, but for those of you who might be interested at this point, over the last few years, I've been archiving these broadcasts, and I've got something like 13 books that we have been through verse by verse. I have archives of these, and if you would like to have any of these particular studies on tape, they can be made available to you. I think the only thing that is reasonable at this point, I can put them on CD, or they can be put on audio cassette, or if you have access to a mini disc machine, that would be the simplest. But at any rate, if you are interested in a whole book or a particular chapter, let's see, I think we've gone through Revelation, Galatians, Romans, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, James, and just most recently the book of John. If there are any of those programs you would like to have on tape, please let us know and we'll be glad to get those to you. I can't say they're free of charge because, frankly, we can't afford, we just don't have pockets deep enough to supply the tapes and provide for the mailing. But if you can provide the money for the tapes and the mailing, then they'll be available to you at cost. This is not a money-making proposition for anybody, but as long as we break even, that's, nothing lost there. And it does make these things available to you. Okay, as I said, we left off with verse 7. I'd like to begin there this morning. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, as I have mentioned in previous broadcasts, John has been called the Apostle of Love. And while love does figure very strongly in his writing, there's more to it than that. You will notice he does not have any toleration for sin. As a matter of fact, this whole book of 1 John is geared toward developing, for a Christian to develop a walk with God that's pleasing to God. And the first two chapters are dealing with walking in the light, specifically dealing with the matter of sin in the life of the believer. Now, you noticed in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I ran out of time yesterday to really deal with it at length, but let me just share a couple things with you about verse 7 from the Greek. We have fellowship one with another. Now, who is the we? Well, you would assume that he's talking about Christians. However, that's not the case. Back up. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. Okay, how many people are in the light? Well, there's you and the Lord, right? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That is, you and God have fellowship one with another. You can expand it that everyone who is walking in the light, having fellowship with God, is going to have fellowship with one another as well. But the emphasis here is on fellowship with God. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us, cleanseth. Sometimes the ETH is harder to say than cleanses. Cleanses us from all sin. Now, anytime, and this is just a little clue for those of you who would like to study a little more in depth, or like a better understanding of things. Anytime you see the ETH on the end of a verb, that's an indicator to you, or ought to be an indicator for you, to understand that that is in the present progressive tense. In other words, that verb is something that, having been done, is continuing to act. The action is continuing. Now, when it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us, ETH, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is cleansing us, is continually cleansing us from all sin. Now, you say, okay, but what's the big deal about these Greek tenses? Well, consider this. If Jesus Christ forgave you of your sins and cleansed you from the sins you had committed in the past, as some people teach, then the ETH would not be here, and the concept of continual cleansing would be unnecessary, because if it's a matter of simply asking for forgiveness for the sins you've committed, boom, that's done. Well, what happens when you sin since? Uh-oh. Now, depending on your exposure and what you've been taught, oh, you lose your salvation. You're going to have to get saved all over again, and then you're going to have to what? Update the cleansing? That's not the point. The Scriptures here says that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is continually cleansing us from all sin. Continually cleansing. Why? Didn't he get it right the first time? No. The sins I've committed, they're all in the past. But from day to day, we still have a problem with sin. We still have a problem with the old nature. And his blood is still active and continually cleansing us. You have been bought with a price. It is not a matter that... Let me ask you a question. You go out and you buy a new car, or a new used car, but it's your car. You paid money for it. Okay? Now, is it your car when it runs? You say, sure. Well, what if it stops running? Is it no longer your car? You still paid the same amount of money for it, didn't you? Whether it's running or whether it's sitting on blocks, it's your car, isn't it? Yep. Uh-huh. Can that car decide it's not going to be your car? I don't like this guy anymore, so I refuse to run. It's still your car, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And when is it no longer your car? Well, when you sell it or trade it off. Uh-huh. Now, on the other hand, if we're talking about a Christian, is there ever anything in the Scripture that indicates he's going to, quote, sell you off or trade you away? Nope. You are bought with a price. You are bought with a final transaction with the blood of Jesus Christ. You belong to him. And because you belong to him and because you have an old nature that still continues to foul things up, that blood continues to work to cleanse you and keep you in a clean state before God. Now, the old-timers used to talk about shouting ground. And if you'll stop and let that soak in on you a little bit, if you'll stop and meditate on verse 6 and verse 7, you will find something there that ought to find a hallelujah bubbling up from inside you, a praise the Lord that would just kind of rattle the windows and raise the roof a tad. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is continually cleansing us from all sin. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now note something. He didn't say, if we say we have not sinned in the past. We'd say, well, everybody's sinned. Uh-huh. But you know, I run into all kinds of people. I remember on visitation one time, I was talking to a fella about his need for the Lord, and we're going through the Scripture, and the Bible says, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. He said, yeah, yeah. I said, well, according to the Bible, you're a sinner? Oh, yeah. He said, the old lady tells me that all the time. I said, well, according to the Scripture, you're a sinner? I'm a sinner? And he looked at me funny. He said, but you're a preacher. I said, yes, I'm a preacher, but what does the Bible say? Well, yeah, but I always heard, no, what does the Bible say? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And about that time, his wife walked past the door, and she said, what y'all talking about? And I told her, and I said, he seems to be having trouble with the fact that all have sinned. We're all sinners. She said, I'm not. I said, excuse me, I thought she was joking. And I said, no, the Bible says all have sinned. That means me and him and you. And she said, I haven't sinned in the last 20 years. And I laughed, and that was the wrong thing to do because she got mad. You ever seen an old wet hen? Okay, there she was. She reared back and she glared at me and she said, I'll have you to know I have not committed a sin for 20 years. I said, how long have you been saved, sister? She said, I've been saved 18 years. Now, you don't have to be a math whiz to figure this out. You do the math, you find out she was without sin 2 years before she got saved. And I said, now, wait a minute. I said, you haven't sinned for 20 years, but you've only been saved for 18. What in the world do you need religion for? That didn't make her too happy either. If we say we have no sin, now look, that's not past tense, that's present. If we say that right now in the present we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. John doesn't cut anybody any slack. He says, if I say I have no sin, if you say you have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. We don't have a grip on reality. You just don't understand what sin is. You don't understand the deceitfulness of sin. You don't understand the fact that you are plagued with an old nature that's going to dog your heels till the day you stand in the presence of Almighty God. You've got a problem with sin. Now, the idea is you don't want to walk in sin. You don't want to walk in darkness, but you're going to have a problem with it. If we confess our sins, that is, if we, and the word confess means to admit or declare oneself guilty of what one is accused. If we confess our sins, this word sin, Greek word, means violation of divine law in thought or in deed. He is faithful, that is, he is one that can be relied upon. He's faithful and just in a judicial sense. Passing just judgment on others, whether in word or in action. He is faithful and just to forgive us. To forgive, that is, to disregard, to let go, to give up a debt. If we confess our sins, incidentally, he's not talking to sinners here in the sense of unconverted. He's talking to Christians, isn't he? He includes himself. This is John, the beloved disciple, the one who leaned on Jesus' bosom at the Last Supper. If we confess our sins, was he saved or not? Well, yeah. He's writing the book, isn't he? Uh-huh. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse, that is, to free from the guilt of sin, to consecrate by cleansing or purifying, to dedicate, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Unrighteousness, a deed violating the law or injustice. Now, once again, I look at the clock, and I know there's no way I can really come to any final closure on chapter 1, so we'll have to come back to it again on the next broadcast. If we confess our sins, my friend, this is a Christian's bar of soap. Use it. Use it. Walk in the light as he is in the light, so you might have fellowship with him. I don't care whether you like what I say or not. Study the scripture and see for yourself what the Bible says.